Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's not termites. It isn't mice. It's Dig Dug, the new video game cartridge from Atari, console sold separately and hooked up by an adult. You dig for balloon men. You dig for dragons. You can dig yourself into all sorts of trouble. The question is, can you dig yourself out? Dig Dug, the Atari video game cartridge. Versions available for all Atari systems, console sold separately.
Balloon men.
Balloon men. That's right. The dragons and the balloon men and your adults. We're going to plug it in.
Yeah,
you're
all going to plug it in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I like to dig my nickname. Sorry, that's wrong. I like to dig. And by the way, my nickname is Doug. All right. So I'm Dig Doug, really. I will dig down and I will dig up. I might even dig left. I might even dig right. If I feel like it, it's up to me. It's not up to you to decide how I kill fire-breathing dinosaurs and weird little glasses-wearing nerds. All right? So just let me be me and let me dig deep into this bright orange soil like a good Doug should. And you'll know when I'm doing it because the music only plays when I dig.
Thanks, Doug. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I think I have really dig-dug myself into a hole this time. A real hole full of mystical, goggle-wearing, fire-breathing, ghost-phasing crap, where everything is out to invade my personal space and steal my little smurfy souls, of which I have three. No, two. Like for me, I brought my squiggly-lined bicycle pump harpoon to inject those buggers with so much air they pop like an overinflated tire. Just another Saturday at the arcade. Dig it, Doug.
Dig it, Doug. Douglas. What if he goes by, his mom calls him Douglas, you know?
I know. I wish that, you know, I enjoy a good play on words. Yeah. And, you know, Doug is definitely going to be D-O-U-G and not D-U-G, right?
I would think so. If you had to pin me down and make me answer, I think that would be true.
Yeah. And actually, that was the first thing I went in asking this week. And if you stay tuned, you'll find out that Dig Doug wasn't his real name-o.
What was it? Do you want to?
That's for later.
You want to? You don't want to spill that now. Okay.
I don't want to spill that now. We got to talk about what we've been doing this week first.
I'm glad they didn't call him Doug the Digger, and here's why. Back in the day, we would like the reason that they changed Pac-Man from Puck-Man is because people would cross out that little bit of the P and make it an F, and it would then spell what you think it spells. And I can't imagine the dark world we live in if people were changing Digger to something else. So So I'm glad they went with Dig Dug. It's the right choice. Good job, Namco. Twice now, you've nailed it. Well done.
Yeah, yeah. No adults in the room took up your Atari.
Not one of them. Anyway,
nope.
Let's talk about a couple things where we're going here. I'm going on a trip to Las Vegas, a event happening for my morning show. A bunch of fans of the morning streamer coming out there, and we're going to have a blast. Can't wait. So I have loaded up my Delta app because I got a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
And on that drive, what am I going to do, man? I'm going to pull out my phone. I'm going to pull up games like, let's see here. What have I installed so far? I'll probably still have some that I want to put on here. Oh, gosh, what's happening?
Oh, I'll tell you what I got in mind. How about that real quick?
I have that.
Kirby. I have Kirby. I finally got that to work. We had talked about that on Discord earlier today.
Yeah.
But, you know, remember that tilt and turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tilt and tumble, actually. Yeah.
And tumble.
For some reason, I've got Super Mario 64. I got Dig Dug 2, which I played this week, and Super Mario Brothers.
Good Lord. You are rocking the free world, man.
Yeah.
I have right now Kirby's Dream Course, which is a golf game on the SNES.
Oh.
Seems like a perfect game to have on a less than, you know, yeah, the screen controls are good, but they're not great for like Twitch gaming. Yeah. And by Twitch, I don't mean streaming. You know what I mean? But all the turn-based sort of stuff, like golf games and that sort of thing, perfect for this. Advance Wars 2 I will be playing, Fire Emblem, The Sacred Stones. I'm going to try Mario Party Advance because I've never played it on anything but a GBA. I want to see how it does here. Pokemon Pinball's on here. Pokemon Ruby version of Pokemon. So Pokemon Ruby is on here. They called it Pokemon Ruby version, which I always thought was a little bit weird, but whatever.
It is weird.
Also, I see what's happening. If you don't, you know what? If you have an external controller hooked up to the Delta app,
yeah,
the screen stuff goes away. So I can't actually get out of it without using the controller to get out of it.
So it maximizes the use of the screen, but then it takes away your ability to control it from the screen, right?
A little bit jacked. I'm gonna Bluetooth up that the SNES controller I got from 8-Bit Do. That's what I'm gonna do.
Smart.
I'm gonna take that with me. Anyway, what else was I going to say? Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap. I think should play really great on here. A few others, but anyway, that app is awesome. I know that some have been using it for a long time and on other platforms. It's very nice to finally have it on iOS. Super easy to use. Highly recommend it. Take those cartridges you have and dump those ROMs and stick them on your app. All right.
Stick them right up your app hole.
And just stick them the up same your way. App.
So last week we had talked a little bit about it last week, and I was like, well, how do they make money and blah blah blah. And anyway, come to find out, these guys are making, you know, all right as programmers. And they got a nice little patron page. So now I'm not as concerned about what they're doing with my data because I know they have a revenue income doing programming. So
right.
I'm pretty excited to continue to dive deep into Delta. And I did just that this week because there was nothing easier than playing Digger 2, which deserves all the respect in the world, as we find out in a minute how much Scott loved it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's been good.
It's good, right? It's a nice alternative. Yeah. I mean, you could say Scott, you have an Ambernick with all these same games on it. Why don't you just take that? It's not that I don't want to do that. In fact, I probably will. That'll fit in my bag just fine. It's just that there's this new thing, and I want to fiddle with it and see how it is, so I can make good recommendations. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, it makes sense, and we're always excited to try something new.
Mm. Chat wants to know if you pinning me down physically and making me answer any kind of questions you have, is that available to Patreon people?
That's great. I love that idea. Yes, it is.
Okay,
what is that? What level is that?
Yeah, what level?
It is the $1.99 level.
Yeah, is that it? All right. I'm here to live your dreams for
answer
you.
Answer the question, Johnson.
Absolutely.
Answer it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, anyway, that's what I've been up to. You've been up to a few things. What else? You doing your Evercade a bit? That's fun.
So look, you know, I've been talking for a few years about getting into the Evercade ecosystem. And if you're not familiar with that, Evercade is essentially a company that provides real licensed ROMs, because people are always asking us like, oh, I want to get an Ambernick, but I don't know where to get ROMs at. And then it gets kind of complicated. You're like, I don't want to go to all those ROM sites or archive sites and load up my own. And it's like, and what comes with it usually is crap. It's not well curated. So I went a little different direction this past week with the Evercade product that is known as Super Pocket. So we got these. There's these theme things, these theme handheld systems that are very single purpose, as in they come in with a certain style. We have a Capcom version, which has Street Fighter 2 and several other Capcom games, up to 12 included. And then there's a Taito Super Pocket, which comes with Space Invaders and Bubble Bobble and several other games as well, up to 18. But what's exciting about these systems is this Hyper Megatech is a smaller part or a smaller part of the bigger company known as Blaze that does all of these Evercade things. And so here you go. Look at that. It's a nice little form factor Game Boy. It looks very similar in size to the Ambernicks we've talked about.
I like that.
This one is I love this Capcom one. I ordered both because I wasn't sure which one I would like the most. One of them is like this nice rich blue with a yellow. This is the Capcom. Then you got this Taito one. This kind of got this black and teal that I kind of like a lot. Mm-hmm. And And so the included games come on there. They're already ready to go. It's a very smooth interface. And also, you can put in these Evercade carts. And if you go to the Hyper Mega Tech website /Evercade, it'll give you all the games, game cartridges and packs that are available that work with this. And I ordered the Interplay Collection 1.
Look at you.
So look at this little cart thing here. This is so cute.
Like I said,
people
are
always asking us how to get ROMs. These are officially licensed ROMs from these different companies. This is the Interplay one. And I got some Earthworm Jim on here, so a Boogerman.
Yeah, Boogerman. Booger gotta have Boogerman. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love Boogerman.
Yeah. I'm going to do a more in-depth review of these little units because, you know, it's they're retail priced in the U.S. for $59. Mm. Which is very reasonable. And I have, you know, a lot of the people who are getting these Ambernics are wanting to get one for their kids. And, you know, it's according to what age the kid is. Ambernic can be kind of finicky. As a matter of fact, I had talked about giving my RG35XX to my nephew. It was about 11 or 12. And he's brought it back a couple of times because it broke. Mm. The configuration file, for whatever reason, broke on it because, you know, I had to build it myself, essentially, all the little OS and stuff, and it kind of broke. And so I had to bring it back a couple of times to fix it. Mm. I'm like, man, if I could just get one of these $60 for that, and then, you know, $20, he could have like close to 30 games worth of old school stuff that this fun. It's a good, nice, durable system. So yeah. I've been pretty impressed so far. It's very kind of narrow focused.
Sure.
So if you're looking for something that's going to play every freaking game in the world, this ain't going to do it. But you do get the nice cozy feeling of, I got licensed ROMs and I paid and did all the right things. And these things go on sale for $40.
Sure.
So keep your eyes out. They'll go on sale for $40 from time to time. And that's just an amazing deal.
I kind of want one now.
Which color do you think you prefer? This rich blue Capcom?
I like the blue. I like the blue and yellow. I think that's cool. Very Capcom. Yeah, I like that one too, though.
Yeah, I'm keeping both. I ordered both. I was like, I'm going to look at both of them and I'm going to send one of them back. And I was like, but once I got here, I was like,
yeah,
I'm just going to keep both. Yeah. And maybe give one away.
I feel you, dude. That's a hard call. But you do what's best for you, is what I say.
Yeah. Very excited about
it. Very cool. Well, we're gonna get right into it then. We have a big game to talk about, a very influential one, and we can't talk about it until we play this thing.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. Let's play a game called Dig Dug. Or some called him Digless Douglas. No, that never happened.
That one said that.
Nope.
You know, I think growing up, as easy as Dig Dug should have been able to make fun of, I never made fun of Dig Dug. I gave mad respect to Dig Dug.
I love Dig Dug.
It felt like a cartoon at the arcade because the sprites were very bright and cartoony. And I never wanted to give a crap.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
It's the first that I can think of that I ever played that had this idea of going underground to do things in a video game, which I'm a big fan of now. I love the SteamWorld Dig games a lot. I like games.
Really got to be influenced by this game though, right?
Oh, I have to be, right? Like at least there's a way you could trace it and say, what are all the subterranean games and how did they play? Mm-hmm. And you know, this is OG, this game. If you played it, you know it, but here's a little bit of what that sounded like. Check it out. Classic, dude. Now, you'll notice some hitching in the music. Listen. Well, maybe not that part. But the music will hitch all the time because when he moves around, the music plays. When he holds still, it stops playing. And I remember as a kid going, that's annoying. I wish this game wouldn't do that. And the second game quit doing that, and other games since didn't do that. But for whatever reason, the original game was like, nope, only going to have music while I walk. That's the rule.
I found it interesting. I thought, what a interesting programming trick to get around like timing of music and how it plays. Because I did play the later games, and there were times when I'm like, the music doesn't quite match up with what's going on screen right now. And so I kind of love-hated it. Matter of fact, I kind of get into it. I'd almost find like a rhythm to it. I'd be like, do, 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 do. And I would just stop and I would just play the song in my head for a second there. And I would just kind of stand there with my character and then I would walk along again. I kind of, kind of hate it.
I don't like it either. I don't even come close to loving it. But I think
you don't love it at all.
No, I mean, like, I love the game, but I don't like the way they do the music. I think the music's annoying and it's hitchy.
I feel like it gives me just even one more level of immersion because I feel like I'm controlling everything.
Yeah,
it's like the music stops when I stop moving. I'm so centric. It's all about me.
No, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Brian Doug.
If Brian Dugaway wants to dig away and not be fettered by simple things as regular music, then I understand. I feel you.
I kind of feel like I'm like humming the song or something. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm out here, you know, digging and killing the for whatever reason, there's only two enemies in this game. Even Space Invaders had like a variety of characters, but here you just got a fire breathing dinosaur, then you got like we'd call it the nerd contingent with the goggles.
Yep.
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what's going on with him either. But yeah, you got these goggle guys. You got these dragons.
And they have names.
Yeah, they have names. Oh, the we got to talk. What was he originally called? Let's break the seal on that secret. What was he?
Let me finish the enemies thing. Pookas, right. That's the red. The monsters with the goggles and the Fygars, which are the dragon-like creatures. You find out later that his name is, and I had it pulled up. He goes by the name of, and I'm going to butcher this. Tezahori? I know the Hori part is right.
Tezahori? I think that's right.
Right. It is the father of, so the main character in in the Mr. Driller series.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I teased it and then I forgot it. His name is a pun on Horace Zo, which is I want to dig.
Okay.
Boy, that I ended up making that very anticlimactic because I didn't phonically spell out by the name.
Yeah.
Tezahori,
right?
Tezahori.
Right. I believe you. I think you got it right.
I want to dig is his name.
Yeah.
But I guess that would be boring, though, wouldn't it?
I mean,
and Hori is also known as the hero of the Dig Dug incident in Japan.
What does
that mean?
I don't know.
In the Mr. Driller series.
I must know what that means. Please tell me more.
Now we're tying it all together with that commercial we watched pre-show, that movie, that mini movie, 2-minute commercial we watched. That feels like there was an incident and you're trying to get through it.
Yeah.
They're definitely aliens, though, right? They're definitely aliens.
Oh, I mean, if I had to put my finger on it, I'd say aliens. Because what? Okay, name a dragon that lives underground. Number one, you can't. Number two,
Godzilla.
Name a dragon. Well, he lives under the ocean. It's not quite the same.
Yeah. Well, except when he's visiting King Kong.
That is true. Imagine a world where underground dragons exist. They shoot fire out of their mouths. They can also teleport through hard dirt. And that brings me to my least favorite thing about the series, about the game.
The ghost.
I hate that. I think that sucks. It's cheaty. I don't like it. If I want to go, if I want them to just traverse through the world like Kitty Pryde, then I would have asked for it. I freaking hate that. I want to kill them because they wandered into my tunnel, not because they teleported into my tunnel. F that business.
Right.
So not a fan of that method. It bugs me. I kind of wish that was gone. Now I understand the game is a little more difficult because it's in there. And the businesses, let's get quarters. I get it. But a little bit annoyed by that.
I can agree. So I think this probably happens somewhere in development. The initial concept of this game was that they wanted to do something different from all the maze craze game that was going on. We had Pac-Man, had tons of games that were, you know, you being chased by something.
Yeah.
Or you being on your heels and always usually involving a maze of some sort. But here we were looking at something that was like a maze in reverse. You were creating the paths and then that would be the maze for the monsters to go through. But you couldn't just make that be the game, right? Because in the early levels, that's what you do. You have a single screen and there's monsters in little areas that they have like little paths. They walk in back and forth and you go to them. And, you know, you kind of dig into their little area and then you attack them. Mm. When you get down to the last character on the screen, he tries to escape. So you have to chase him.
Right.
In the later levels, it increases in difficulty because, like you said, they start ghosting and they will start kind of like you're like a magnet. And they'll start like going towards you. I guess you've made them mad enough. But you just take out your bicycle pump. Right. Yeah. A very creative way of destroying the characters, the story goes that the developer was the designer developer was out on his bike ride and he had to pump up his tire. And that's when he got the idea that he wanted to implement that as a weapon to inflate something until it exploded.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Right.
Keep going.
Kind of functions as a harpoon, really, because it's not like you're carrying around. First of all, you're like a Smurf. Very intentional.
Right.
And then you have like a harpoon thing, right? And when it hits the bad guy, you start tapping the button. When you do, they inflate until they explode.
Right.
I didn't know that there was any strategy to that part. I thought you just did that. I thought you shot them. You stop moving your joystick and you just hit the button until you blow them up. Apparently, if you want to dispatch them quickly, you point the joystick towards the character and you just rapidly hit.
Mm.
And then they explode a lot faster, which becomes into play with the later strategy stuff when you've got a lot of enemies on screen where you have to start pumping up bad guys and then running past them before exploding them and then come back and finish your pumping.
Yeah, there is
you gotta
finish your pumping as well. I like that mechanic. So I can get him kind of half pumped and I can get past him. And then he'll slowly be deflating, but that gives you time to get on the other side and either finish the pump or get to safer ground. The reason that they do the teleport thing, which isn't that common in the first couple of levels, is because later they want to amp up the difficulty. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have them all just follow the path that you've created.
No.
They have to
Boring.
Do something else. I just wish they did something else and not teleport.
Yeah, the difficulty ramps up very quickly at the arcade. Is different in the different ports. There's a million ports, by the way. Everybody got a dig dug eventually. Because, Atari was doing the, Namco was doing the developing, and Namco, I think, was just doing the distribution outside of the U.S. But in the U.S., I think Atari was doing all the distribution. And so you get Atari involved and they want to put it everywhere.
Yeah. Sure, their whole gig in life is to do that.
Yeah.
It's a fun game though. I think it had a really strong basis. And so you would think kind of like, let's go back to our first episode of Joust. You'd think
Joust
based on the strong, platform or a strong foundation you've created with your first game, that you would have no problem making a sophomore effort, the next time and going, oh, well, look what we've done. We've made what was great already better. But no, they fell down a hole. Now, if you love, if there's a certain kind of game that if you love, you're stoked about Dig Dug 2. But if you aren't, Dig Dug 2 was a massive disappointment. And we'll talk about it in a second. But here's what that sounded like. Big improvement on the audio. Everything sounds really nice, right?
So good.
No issues. That's not my issue with the game at all. The big issue I have with this game is it's Klax, is what it is. Remember Klax? Not Klax. Am I saying that right? Not
Klax? Zaxxon?
Not Zaxxon.
No.
What's the one where you...
What are you looking for?
You cordon off chunks of the space, and then you try to seal it off, and then now that's yours.
You just described it.
Yeah, but there's a game...
exactly the game for Dig Dug.
But there's another game called...
Right, Klax. Yeah, with the double X, right?
It is. I think it is Klax. Anyway,
Klax. I think it's double X Klax.
I think that's right. And that's what this game is. You're still a little digger dude, but your job is to just tie these posts off and get rid of the ghosts. Not ghosts, but the creatures that way, which make a return appearance. So there are some new ones, but for the most part, it's like, oh, here's those dragons again, and here's those stupid blow up ball guys. And
you still got pukas,
and sorry,
Thigars.
Pukas and Thigars. They also still teleport, but they teleport from one plane to the other. Your maze is basically cut out for you, and it appears that you're on like the ocean or something. You're like on an island.
Yeah. You got 70 islands that you're taking care of. 72 different tropical islands to go against these jerks.
Yeah.
Who are still just trying to... They're actually, they got more of a homing in them than the first one. Because the first one, they kind of ignored you somewhat until later levels. But this time around, they're all on you. They're coming to get you.
Yeah, and this game has got a definite a swing in the direction of half pump them strategies. So pump them, run and do stuff. Pump them, run and do stuff. Don't blow them up. Just pump them and do stuff. Because your goal is to cordon off land, have that land fall into the ocean, and take those creatures with them. On paper,
there's more points there, Scott.
On paper, this sound there is more points. It's combos and stuff. On paper, this sounds amazing. I'm here to tell you, in practice, it is an affront to the legacy of Dig Dug. All right, and I stand by that, and always will.
You know, at first I was the same. It's one of those shocking things. It's still kind of like you're still thinking that he's still kind of a diller.
He's a driller.
He's still a driller.
Yeah,
but it's changed some, and I was put off as well when I first started playing. But after I gave it a chance, I kind of like some things about this. Now, I definitely didn't feel like I was playing Dig Dug. I felt like I was playing Dig Dug in a, you know, I feel like they put the character Dig Dug. They put all my characters in a different game, essentially.
That's exactly it. And that's where my problem is. So I would call this a little bit of
smack talk.
It's a little bit of smack talk. Brian's got an interesting point. Like, it does take it in a direction that if you're cool with that direction, then yeah, you're excited. You're like, oh, Dig Dug playing in a new way. And back then, we're making arcade games not knowing what expectations should be for a sequel. We don't know that more of the same is kind of the standard yet. And by more of the same, I mean more of the same, but then adding things, making it better. And this game just said, what if it was a whole different game?
Yeah.
And that was an okay idea then, because we didn't know any better. That's just what that's what they did. And I remember as a kid going, let's see. All right, what do you got for me, Dig Dug 2? I played the hell out of the first one. What do we got here? What the hell is this?
Dig Dug 1, 82, before the big crash. Dig Dug 2, Trouble in Paradise, 1985, after the crash. We're definitely trying some different things, right?
Kind of during, right? That crash was like in the middle of 85. That was a bad year.
Yeah, it was a bad year. So it didn't. Dig Dug 2 did not do nearly as good as the first one. It was a totally different take. And that's like you said, people, they were trying to decide. They were like, do we want to do something totally different? Let's do something totally different. We already made Dig Dug. Why would anyone want to play Dig Dug another round? Nobody wants to play that. Yeah,
nope,
we did.
Nope.
That's exactly what we wanted. But you don't get to drop rocks on people here. That's one of my favorite things in the first one is, you know, digging right underneath a rock and then waiting for, you know, the characters to kind of stack up and or tunnel underneath you. And so you can just drop it on them. Instead, we get this swap out with this crash the island kind of thing. And once I got into it, I actually started enjoying it when I just let it all go and said, let's play this game mechanic and really enjoy it. And I found a lot of joy in it. Actually, I played longer than I thought I would.
Yeah, I tried. I'll say this. Yeah. This attempt was. I gave it a Christmas try. That's not even a phrase, but I gave it the Christmas try.
Yeah, it is. Actually, that's really good because I've talked about this before on many shows. I give shit more leeway around Christmas time because I just feel like, you know, maybe
it's Christmas. It's the right spirit. Sure. I get it.
Yeah. The spirit. I mean, the spirit of giving. I'm going to give it a little bit. It
can also be a little confusing because you're not really sure what's going to fall apart once you connect two of these posts. Like
I still couldn't quite understand exactly the determination of what's going to fall, because when it does fall, just like when in the rocks in the first one, you want to make sure that you don't actually accidentally backtrack and get smashed by your own rock. You have to do the same thing here. You'll easily start to kind of fall off in one direction and you immediately have to push your controller to go in the other direction. So it's kind of almost like a quick time event where it's like, oh no, I've made a thing happen. Now I have to make a decision post that decision to make sure that I get away from it.
Now, quick note, someone in the chat, Dr. Calhoun has corrected me and I'm glad he did. We were saying Clax. It was never Clax. It's Quix that they had copied.
The Q-I-X. Yeah. Quix. That's right.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I knew it was, I don't know, something about that didn't sound
quick,
right. But
Quick Clax.
Quix was basically like, hey, block this weird graphic into these holes and try to stop them from doing their stuff. I'm showing some video now. It was a game that was fine, and this game decided, why don't we do some of that? And I went, no, I want to dig. What are you doing? There's no digging here.
It does not feel like a dig, even though you're kind of digging, but you're doing it all on the surface level because it's more from a top down than it is from being actually in the dirt.
Yeah,
like the commercial told us.
Yeah. I see you or IQ in the chat says capture the Windows 95 screensaver. That's exactly what Quix was.
That is Quix,
because that was that stupid squiggly multicolored thing that your old ass Windows 95 screensaver would do, and you were like trapping it in the arcade. I never thought of it that way, but win.
The sprites are all still essentially the same in this one, except they're maybe a little bit smaller, or maybe it's just a perception thing, because the first one, they felt bigger and more cartoony and I even love the little flowers across the top that represented each stage that you got through. It's like, oh, look, I'm racking it up. I'm like stage one, two, three, four, five flowers. I'm like, muhaha. And this one, you know, the characters are the sprite animations are still the same perspective. But now instead of being like you've cut out a chunk of the earth and are looking into it, mm-hmm. now it's like you're isometric, almost like top down somewhat. It's a little bit, it's definitely, it was a bold move.
If you wanted something different, you got it. And I know today it's these days you hear people going, how come the industry can't do anything new? It's all sequels. Well, back then we didn't know what we wanted, you know?
And then that's when Namco points over and Dig Dug 2 and says,
yeah. See? What do you think? And then everyone goes, no, not that.
Not that. We didn't mean that.
Anything but that, please. Anyway, I think they're both solid games though. Where things got interesting though. By the way, this was called Dig Dug 2 Trouble in Paradise. People forget that. It had a name, like an extended name. And
plus there wasn't as many so we were still very much in the high score era of arcade games where it's like the biggest satisfaction you could get was, you know, rolling the score and running into a kill screen, which you could do in the first one. I don't know how in the hell you'd ever do it in the second one. But yeah, and so you didn't have as many ways to score points. Like the first one felt more like if you dug a block of dirt, I think it was like 10 points. And then if you killed a Rygar, it was so many points. And there was just all kinds of ways you could accrue points. In the second one, it was kind of all a mystery to me still.
Still is. Yeah. Still a little bit of one. I probably played 2 hours. That's not bad, but I'm still surprised. I'm still a little bit confused about when and how I'm creating the divisions. Like in Quicks, it's easy because you're going dot, dot. And it's like the dots connect and create a square. And this one, it's like, well, they're dots, but they're also these lines. They're already there when you get there. Those are like cuts, but you're not sure what they align with. So then you got to experiment with that whole half of the island will fall off if I do this.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it does the opposite. Sometimes it's the wrong half. Yeah, and that threw me the whole time.
Yeah.
Never could quite get my head around it. But anyway, Dig Dug Doo 2, Trouble in Paradise. Yeah.
I do think, Dig Dug Doo, Mr. Doo.
Mr. Doo.
I do think that the more I look at it, I would be interested in reading the manual and stuff that tells you. The more I think about it, the more I think the randomness of which way things are going to fall is an intentional thing to... is part of the game mechanic of trying to regain balance after you cut it off, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a fair assessment. Will I play more of this soon? Probably not.
I got it on my Delta app on my iOS. I may have no choice. I may be in the doctor's office going, well, it's either think about the shot they're going to give me or Dig Dug 2. Dig Dug 2 it is!
Or I'll play Dig Dug 1. Right. How about that? The first game.
Oh, so you think I have room for 64 kilobytes of ROM? I ain't got time for that.
If that. I wonder how big that actually is.
My iCloud is full.
It's so funny the size of these things compared to what we can do now. Let's see if I can find that real quick because I would like to know how big it is.
While you're looking at that, I'd like to talk about the ports in the first one. The second one didn't get very many ports, but the first one, man, it was on everything. And I was going to kind of run down the Commodore 64 to me had the best audio if you're looking for one. It's got that SID chip. It sounds great. It's a little deeper and richer. And I think the music plays the entire time, not just when you're moving. The Apple
41K, by the way. Is all that thing was.
Oh, 41K sounds about right. Yeah. Apple II, worst audio. These are kind of indicative of a lot of games from this time. It always seemed like the Apple II would have terrible sound in by default. People did make it good, but it always seemed like that was the experience. The NES had the best visual stuff. It was really good, basic. The Atari 2600, the least visual, as you would expect from an Atari 2600. It's basic blocks.
Right.
But it's still Dig Dug.
No, it's still Dig Dug. Exactly. I'm trying to think how many Dig Dugs could you get into a gigabyte? And I think all it's like, I guess if you just times it by 1,000.
Yeah.
It's 44,000 copies.
Yeah. Imagine if you could play those all at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah. Don't imagine it. It's a terrible thought.
Don't imagine. Okay.
You don't want to
do it.
I'm
not imagining it.
Now, look, if you were a kid in the 1996 and you had a PlayStation and you really longed for the Dig Dug experience, it turns out there was one, and it sounded like this. That's right. Dig Dug arrangement. I mean, it's got all the business music. It's kind of remastered.
We talked about some of the arrangements in the pack in the past. We talked about the Pac-Man arrangement, which is amazing. We talked about the Galaga arrangement, I believe. Yes, we've talked about that one. Was it? Yeah, it's Galaga. Yeah,
I think so.
But these are all upgrades for the originals. So you would usually have the same gameplay, but you would then make it jazzy and fancy and bouncing graphics that you could have from 1996 in the arcade or later on. If you get the collections, I play mine on the PlayStation 2, by the way, which I have a copy of. Which one was this one? Capcom Classic something.
Capcom. They had Dig Dug for a while. Is that their thing?
Namco. I'm sorry, Namco. I had to say Cap. I'm looking at my Capcom box over here with this.
It's hard to ignore it. Sure.
Yeah, Namco. Yeah, Namco.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool version of the game. I played a bit of this. I like it. In fact, I think this might be my preferred way to play because the gameplay is intact. It plays just like you would expect Dig Dug to play. The graphics are just better. Everything's more sprite-y and colorful. The ground looks like dirt and ground and bedrock and all that. So there's just kind of more of an adherence to the vibe of the game. I don't know. I think this is actually pretty definitive. It's really good.
If you like the color bands in Dig Dug, they continue to do that here, but they added some more variety to it. Like Scott said, it has different rocks and stuff. And this time you got like this overworld kind of select screen that you don't get to select. It just basically tells you you're in this area and now you're in this area. And you kind of clear blocks as you go along when you clear each stage or screen.
Yeah.
And the bad guys are a lot more aggressive in this one. So they will, the Rygars, or I always want to say Rygars. It's not. It's Fygars.
Fygar, yeah. Yeah.
Fygar, not Rygar, that's something else. Yep. But the Fygars and the Pukas are prominent in the first couple of stages, and you'll have power-ups. But later on, they start adding more characters that do different things, like this dynamite stick-looking thing that when you pump him up, when he explodes, he like causes an area of effect. So a lot more variety coming along here. Like I said, you got power-ups. You got like instead of like dropping rocks, you might drop a thing that basically clears all of the tunnels that you've created. Mm-hmm. So you can actually clear a screen really quick if you make a couple of paths and then hit one of those and it'll drop down.
Those balls. There's like there's those little speed boots like you might see in Bomberman.
Yes.
Make you run faster.
Yes.
And there are some different influences here. You see like Bomberman influence, bit of I don't know what else. Well, like we said, Bomberman, what else? That's
They got they had some other they added some other series stuff. They had like what is it, the Cosmo Gang from other games they had. So they brought a bunch of their properties and kind of put them in here as bad guys. But the most interesting thing here is now you have a sense of progression, because we're no longer talking about who got the high score. High score is still a relevant point, but you want to feel like you're making progress. So now they've added boss levels, which I found varying degrees of enjoyment. Because you would end up in an open area, and you would have a giant Fygar or whatever character they decided to embiggen. And you'll have to, sometimes you get a gun that you can kind of blast them with, which is a lot faster than trying to pump them up, but you can't pump them up. Can't pump up the big guys. Mm-hmm. Those guys are too big. It'd be like trying to pump up a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with a bicycle pump. It ain't going to happen. So you got to figure out something else.
Yeah.
So you may blow up, like I mentioned earlier, those dynamite characters. You could blow them up and cause damage. And they have a big old health meter bar at the top. But I found this one interesting in the way that it allowed you to feel like you're making progress. You clear multiple areas, including, I don't want to spoil it because I was kind of impressed when I did it. I completed the game because this game has endless continues. I guess you could have it at the arcade too if you haven't, of course. But it's got endless continues, and I finished the game completely. And you end up on the moon. Once again, back to the alien contingent. I think but let me tell you about what's on the moon.
Yeah, what's
there's
up there?
There's either a guy who is sleeping with snot in his nose, or you're killing giant babies and they're crying about it. I'm not sure which.
All right.
But that's what happens when you get to the moon.
I like it. I like that a lot.
It emotionally impacted me so much. I actually thought, am I supposed to be killing these guys? Am I supposed to be killing the big baby ones and just, or am I supposed to be killing everything else and then let them escape? You know, I wasn't sure.
You were trying to get the alternate ending to the game.
I thought we didn't mention that, I think this one was the first one that you could play multiple players on the previous ones, but it was kind of like take turn.
Yeah.
High score, take a turn.
Right.
Here you can actually play with two people at once on the screen.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can, that's pretty cool, especially when you start getting to some of the later level stuff where you start running into enemies that also have their own bicycle pump and they will blow you up.
Oh, shit. How do you avoid? I never saw any of that. How do you avoid that?
Oh, my gosh. It gets really crazy near the end. But for the most part, you just have to, when they start pumping you up, you have to start smashing the button. And there's a little icon that comes up and goes, smash the button. And you go, I'm smashing the button.
Yeah.
And because I don't want to die the way I've been killing.
Yeah.
This isn't funny anymore.
I want to live the way I die, or die the way I lived.
That's right.
Yeah. It's cool, though. It's a cool version of the game. I think your dude looks like a little Smurf, though. And it's the only problem I have with it. He looks like a Smurf.
Well, intentionally, the character was designed. But he looks more Smurf here than he did in previous versions. But yeah, the character was originally inspired by the Smurfs. But if I was going to play one of these, I would love to play the Dig Dug arrangement. I found the most joy in it. It's part of the Namco Classic Collection Volume 2. Which came out for the GameCube, which is I have it on the GameCube, I have it on PlayStation 2. It's a great collection. It's got the Pac-Man arrangement, it's got the Galaga arrangement, and it's got this arrangement, and it's got also the classics too. It's got the original Dig Dug, which you can play alongside.
What if you wanted a low rent version of some of these same mechanics, but see it in black and white? Well, I got a deal for you, Brian. You could play this game right here.
Listen to the fidelity.
Yep. Let the fidelity wash over you, because that's what you're going to get with your Game Boy game. This is, let's see what they call this. They called it New Dig Dug in 1996.
They actually called it Dig Dug. I put new in there.
Oh, I thought it was actually called new, no? I thought it was.
I did that because it's called Dig Dug for the Game Boy from 1996, but there's two modes in the game.
Yeah.
There is Dig Dug, like normal, and then there's New Dig Dug. And it plays a little different.
Yeah, this is the part I messed with, and it is weird. The whole screen scrolls. It's not a standard portrait style game like the last bunch we just talked about, last three.
It's not screen to screen. It's
got the rolling ball thing. In fact, the ball can persist sometimes for a longer time than you think and roll back and forth. It does slightly different stuff. And there's also escape doors. Well, there's one right there. So beating it is not about beating the creatures entirely, always. Sometimes it's just get the F out the door. You got to get the key. You got to go find the door. It's more of an adventure game. It's all right.
I actually enjoyed this one as well. It is definitely a different take. You still have those bands of colors as you go down, but it's more maze-like, which kind of surprised me. And look, he looks like Bomberman there.
Yeah.
But he looks less like a Smurf because he's black and white.
Yeah.
unless you had a black and white TV when you watched the Smurfs. Probably looks the same then. But anyway, so this is kind of like follow a maze. So they kind of brought back all the things that they tried to get rid of in the original, which get rid of all the maze elements. And you are not the person trying to pursue, but you're the person trying to escape. Right. So they took everything in the original Dig Dug and flipped it over and said, no, you're going to try to collect keys. You're going to get blocked a lot because there's going to be, there's going to be things you can't dig through. There's going to be impenetrable walls, which creates a maze-like environment. And everything is going to be chasing you constantly, doing that ghosting BS thing that we hate.
Yep.
And the bad guys are never ending. They just keep spawning until you collect the keys and escape and go to the next room.
Yeah. It's always the same set of number of keys. I could never tell during my playtime.
I think it's always three, because the way the door graphic is, every time you get a key, one of the there's like three bars.
Yeah, it's like boarded up, right? And one of the boards leaves. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so you get the key and then a board disappears and you just keep going down until you get it done. But it's not bad for a Game Boy game. Had a little difference to it.
I like it. I felt like a little bit mechanically, it was a little low rent compared to the previous game we talked about, the PlayStation game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a Game Boy game. So what do you expect? And these other elements and kind of making it an adventure is interesting.
Right.
It's cool. It's cool for what it is. You know what? I'll give them credit. It's all right.
Yeah.
How about
it's
that?
It's all right. Look, they give you the original Dig Dug, even though the screen scrolls, but you know, it's a Game Boy game. And they gave you this as well, so why not?
I would play. Yeah. I'd play this in color. I'd play a color version of this if I could. They never made it for that though.
You actually can if you put this in the Game Boy color. Yeah. There's a color palette, which is how I played it for the most part.
I didn't try the palette stuff. So the palette things are hit and miss for me, but I don't mind those. Those are all right.
Yeah, the palette was pretty good. The default palette for this looked pretty good, except he looks more human because he has the fleshy tone to his skin instead of his Smurfy tone.
Oh, his whole body is a fleshy tone?
Well, he's still got the white outfit, but yeah. his skin tone is a human fleshy color as opposed to a blue Smurfy color.
I getcha. Well, I don't like the Smurfs anyway, so F the Smurfs.
Oh my gosh, don't F the Smurfs.
I don't like
them.
They're
the best.
No, I don't like
them. I love the Smurfs.
Papa Smurf totally had sex with Lady Smurf. And had all those other Smurfs. That's what happened. There's only one girl in the entire camp.
Is Smurfette, Gargamel made Smurfette to trap the Smurfs because they didn't have any ladies.
Yeah.
Come on.
And they not only did that.
Smurf lore.
They not only did that, they said, hey, what if she had no pants on the entire time we do this? What if she was naked?
She had a top.
But no bottom.
The boys had no tops and only bottoms.
I'm telling you.
Smack top. Smack top.
That's what that shit clip has been for years, and we just haven't had it in a long time. It's back now.
Yeah.
It's back. Well, there you go. That is a look at those games, and they're pretty great. If you're looking for something that's maybe, I don't know, adjacent or inspired by Boulder Dash rather, Mr. Do is a big one. People love Mr. Do.
Yeah.
I'm not a giant Mr. Do fan, but it's all right. It's okay. You know?
I like all of them. Mr. Do obviously inspired this by this game, Dig Dug. But a lot of people have shouted out, and they were. I think it went when we just asked what we want to talk about, whether it's going to be the big guy, the guy who started it all, Dig Dug, or if it was going to be Mr. Do or Baldur Dash. I think most people said Dig Dug, Mr. Do, then Baldur Dash.
Okay,
I think that's how it went.
That's the order.
But I like all three of them, and there was a bunch of other Digger games that I accidentally came across while, you know, trying to go through my ROM collections and launching, and, you know, it's like Mr. Digger. Is it Mr. Digger? Digger. I can't remember. There was a whole bunch of really, it's a rare game.
I know what that is. What's that called?
Mr. Digger. Is it just Digger?
Digger game made by Rare. I saw this once. This
and
is called.
My God, it.
It's just called Digger, 1983.
Yeah,
that seems dangerous.
I played it for a couple minutes and I was like, yeah, I'm going back and playing more of this. It was really good.
Seems a little dangerous, that name. That's all I'm saying.
It seems very dangerous.
Seems like
Mr.
Somebody could drag, scratch that off the marquee and cause some real problems. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That game was good because that game had, what I liked about that game is it had goals of stuff you had to go get, and killing stuff was secondary. Like, you just had Mr. Do had to go, or sorry, Digger, I guess that's his name. Mm-hmm. He would just have to, he needed all the apples. He needed all the cherries. He needed all the whatevers. Here he is on video doing it right now. Look at that. He just wants what he wants, and you're avoiding those creatures.
Mr. Do is doing his business, man.
Yeah.
I do love the character design of Mr. Do. It is a lot of fun, and it took Dig Dug to the next level, right?
Yep.
Mr. Do It.
Mr. Do It, Digger, and Boulder Dash. Check them out. Also, if you want to get something that's current like these, I'd recommend all that stuff from the SteamWorld Dig games. That being said, there's a game called Murtop on Steam that is basically a clone of this. It's basically Dig Dug.
In a modern setting. Came out in 2023.
Yep.
It's only like $5, but yeah, it's even got like the background screen. It's got a board. Like in the middle, it almost looks exactly like all the little emulators that you see of Dig Dug, where it's, you know, you got these nice little graphics in the back of lovingly detailed fun artwork. And then you got the action part, which is in the 4x3 screen in the center. And it's, you know, it's just like, you might as well be playing Dig Dug, but yeah, in a modern setting.
But it's got some Bomberman stuff going on. I like that. Lots of bombs and stuff. It's got some cool interstitial mid-screens where you're doing different stuff. And also, currently sitting at 100% review rating. So, hey.
Yeah.
It's maybe faster, too. Get it. Is this going to work on my Steam Deck? Yeah. That's the question. That's where I want to play this.
Is this Steam Deck compatible? Let's see. Steam achievements.
There's no Steam. There's no button for it, but that doesn't mean it won't work.
Profile features limited. That's usually what you look. Yeah. So what is that?
But usually they have like a rating of either unknown or works partly or is fully whatever.
Where's my Steam Deck yet?
I don't know. Mine's always out. Yep. Mine's always charged and ready, man. Love my Steam Deck.
Charged and ready to go.
There you go.
I guess I need to dig it.
That's a fun look at all that. Now it's time to play a game of our own.
Destroy it.
Guess My Game is a segment on the show where we guess each other's games based on old audio. We tell each other the platform and year, and the rest is up to us to guess from a list of five options. Four options, not five. I always say five. I don't mean five. I mean four.
I don't know why you say five, but I'll take it.
You know, E's usually are all of the above, but that's never going to work here.
So right.
I don't know why.
It's never going to happen. Unless I put Choplifter as A, B, C, D.
Then it would work every time. Then it would work every time. Brian, let's start with me here. I've got some audio from 1990, 1990. That's the year. Okay.
Hmm.
This is an NES game. And looks like we both did NES today. Mine's a little older than yours, but let's see if you can get this. I'll play a little audio and then I'll give you your options. Here you go.
Mine's the worst.
Oh, is it? All right. Here you go.
This kicks.
It's rocking, right? It's real good.
Oh, I love this.
It's got some of the best music on the NES.
Holy smacking.
It's like a cut above your normal thing, right?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. All right, here are your options. If I can find them. Where is it? Okay, here we go. Is it A, The Immortal? These are all NES games from that year, by the way.
Right.
A, The Immortal. B, Crystalis. C, Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. Or D, Solstice, The Quest for the Staff of Demnos.
Demnos. Look at Demnos.
Look at him, Demnos. Dip.
I don't think it's Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. It doesn't sound like a Castlevania jam, so I'm going to mark C off. No.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember Crystalis. I've actually played that before, but I don't remember hearing that jam and music. But man, The Immortal, that sounds like the name of the song. Mm. Or Solstice, The Quest for Staff of Demnos. Demnos.
Yeah.
That was. It's either A or D. Oh,
isn't that amazing? It's like 100 guitars.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm gonna go with A, The Immortal, just because when I heard it, I was like, this sounds like a game called The Immortal. It just sounds so grandiose, right?
Yeah, it is very grandiose. Godlike. Let's find out if it's that. Is it that? Nope.
Oh.
Your second choice was correct. D, Solstice, The Quest for the Staff of Demnos. Oh. I played this game, but it was a European version of the game. They also had it in Japan. I don't think it happened here. As far as I know, there was never a North American release. And a lot of people just straight up called it Solstice. They never called it by its long name because that long name sucks. Yeah. But it's like this cool, kind of almost early Zelda kind of concept. I don't know. I mean, Zelda had already existed by that point, but it was like that kind of thing. More open world, lots of choices, directions you could go inside these castles and dungeons, and it was very cool.
This is sexy. Yeah. I want to play it now. I just to have it running in the background. It sounds so good.
It can be yours by simply buying the old cartridge and downloading the ROM.
Woohoo!
Brian, let's get to yours.
Or maybe on Evercade.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's get to yours. Tell me about your NES game. What's the deal? What's the year?
I'm on the NES. A few years prior to this, when they didn't know how to make all of the use of the fantastic sound that the NES is apparently capable of. So roll that beautiful bean footage.
That's
the thing, right?
I don't know. I think so. B-roll? I don't know.
Beautiful bean footage. Isn't that like that commercial for the beans with the dog and stuff?
No idea. Never heard of that.
From bean footage. The 90s.
No idea. Never heard of that. Bean footage. Okay. Hold on. I'm looking it up now. Yeah, bean.
Bean.
Fetish.
Yeah, like you'd eat a bean.
Like a bean. Here we go. Beautiful bean tryouts. Bush's baked beans. The Duke, the talking dog. Is this it?
Maybe so. Let's see. Roll that beautiful bean footage is what I remember. Bush's secret family recipe.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, Bush's
baked beans taste so darn good. Roll that beautiful bean footage. Something especially cured bacon.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah. Roll I used to walk around saying that all the time.
Footage. Oh my gosh. I'm going to go cap that later. I love that. That's amazing. Yeah, nice
good
job.
Step.
All right. 88 NES. Let's play the sound.
Yes.
See what we get.
Still pretty spicy, though, right?
Still pretty spicy. Not quite the. Hold on.
Yeah.
Wiki.
Okay, interesting. Give me my options. What are we looking at here?
All right. Hey, Scott. My beautiful bean footage this week is from A, Blaster Master, B, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
yeah.
C, Vindicators, or D, The Adventures of Bayou Billy.
All right, hold on.
Smack. Smack. Yeah.
All right. This is a hard one. Because right now I'm picking between Master Blaster and Vindicators.
Okay.
I don't
so
know why.
So you don't think it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
I don't.
Or The Adventures of Bayou Billy?
I don't. There's something about it that says that this is... there. I hear some shooting and some gunning and maybe some tire squealing.
We got to do Adventures of Bayou Billy, by the way. I have that on the NES. The real cart thing.
Vindicators?
Vindicators is correct,
is
sir.
It correct? I got
you
it.
You are vindicating. Yes, sir. You've finally been vindicated.
Because the reason I think it's Vindicators is I think I know what Master Blaster or Blaster Master sounds like.
Yeah.
And it ain't that. It's close. It's in the vein.
And it ain't that, baby.
Dude, sweet. That game. So I got to look this up. What does this game look like? Vindicators.
When I was doing all my little Atari stuff and everything, so this is another Atari released, being distributed to Nintendo, and I think it uses the wasn't this one of those Tengen things too, I believe?
Yeah, with a weird Tengen box that always had the gold borders on it. Yeah. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Okay, I know this game. This was an arcade game too, right? I think.
It was an arcade game. The audio capture from the NES.
Right.
Yeah, this is a tank game, kind of top-down isometric kind of thing. It's a very good-looking game.
Yeah, so. You know what? Zaxxon vibes, but in tank form.
Mm-hmm.
Here, chat, you can see another one of these. Little image here. Look at that little top-down. Ooh, that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever played it, but this is the kind of thing I would gravitate toward if I saw it in an arcade.
I never played the arcade, but I've played it in my ROM collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the NES.
And the name is also slightly familiar to me. Now that I see the box, I'm like, okay, Vindicators. Interesting. Fun, though. Vindicators. Did you play it? Did you play it recently? And did you,
I played it right. Not super recent. I think maybe... I can't remember when I played it last, but it popped on my list when I was going through my Atari games for this week's Dig Dug.
Well, we know it's good. Like, that's all we know for sure. Well, congratulations to me and not to you.
Oh. Smack talk.
That's right. Smack talk.
Smack talk.
All right. time for some emails, texts,
to the treasure room.
Other things. Let's start with a text. We got one here at 801-471-0462. This is an anonymous person who says, for Play Retro and or Core. We'll do it here because, damn it, we need some love here on the show.
Yeah.
With smartphones having emulators now, such as this Delta app, do we think we'll see a decline in devices like the AmberNIC? I just got an AmberNIC, and within a day of me jumping through hoops to get the new OS and all my ROMs on it, they announced emulators on smartphones. Personally, I prefer having physical buttons rather than touchscreens, but wanted to hear what you all thought. Thanks and cheers. I believe that the tangibility of the AmberNIC devices, the buttons and a D-pad and actual shoulder buttons, where the shoulder buttons are on a touchscreen are stupid impossible on this, and there's no way I'm using it. It's just dumb
because
your fingers aren't touching it the same. Now, if you hook a controller up to it or do one of those backbones or something, whatever, that makes sense. And then that's a great way to play these things. But that being said, I think for some people, yes. So the answer is a mixed one. Yes, there are going to be people that are perfectly satisfied with this as an option on a phone. All right. Totally no issues. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Multiple ways of making it work. But I do think there will continue to be a place for the Amernix because there's Amernix and devices like them because they are so hyper-focused on doing one thing and one thing well, playing classic games in a classic format. And I don't think that's going away. If anything, they'll just get better. Yeah, better screens and better capacity and better buttons and all that stuff.
I like having both. As a matter of fact, I'm becoming a bit of a junkie. I've noticed that people who are into handhelds often have more than one. And they so just adding the Delta for the iOS, I don't think it's going to impact them at all. I think they're going to keep on going because these things are the handheld stuff is just ridiculously affordable and is something tangible. And it, most of them are very attractive and they kind of have a visual quality that your phone just loses as soon as you close the app.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
It's not an experience. It's just an app. But yeah. I love it.
It's they do them really well.
Add to my list.
I think that they're, Brian's right. There's something about the experience of that physical box, you know,
mm-hmm.
even that it's made out of cheap plastic and, you know, the screen
even if it's
isn't
made out
best.
Of cheap plastic, it's just, it brings back the nostalgia. Even if these buttons, these back buttons on these things are terrible, by the way, the Capcom, I will say this, I did look at the Street Fighter 2, which is the premier game on these, on this Super Pocket that I picked up. And you know, that's a 6-button game. There's 4 face buttons and I need 2 more buttons to play with if I'm going to play that. And it happens to be these little buttons on the back and they're not super conveniently located for my big giant hands.
Yeah. Well, you've got big meaty hands and I find them attractive when I see them. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
Look at those things. There,
they look like big, strong hands.
They sure do. What can you pick up with your big, strong hand?
Big strong hands. I'm a rock biter from the the Never Ending Story.
Indeed,
that's like the sad. There's like so many sad moments in the Never Ending Story, and one of them is when the rock biter is talking about it. They look like big strong hands, and it's like, and then 5 minutes later, they're the horse is don't drown, horse, no. And it's
you want to hear the dumbest headline I've seen recently? I saw a headline that says Netflix considering a live action reboot of The NeverEnding Story. And I went, the original is live action.
The original was a live action. What the hell are they talking about? There was a cartoon, though, wasn't there?
Oh,
I
was
think
there?
There was a,
I don't know.
I think there was a cartoon at some point in time. So I guess maybe they felt like they had to distinguish it. But the original was live action. So.
You're right. There was. 95 to 96, there was a... There was a cartoon. So some writer just didn't know. Yeah, he didn't know. He thought he's probably some 90s kid. He's like, wait, there was some movie in the 80s? Shit. let's hear the trailer for this real quick, just for funsies. This is for Never Ending Story.
Welcome to the wonderful world of the Never Ending Story. Meet Bastion and join in his exciting adventures and journeys through the magical land of Fantasia.
Wow. That was on HBO. HBO had that show.
Wow, I think I do remember it was on HBO. That's true.
I don't remember that at all. That's crazy.
You know, it was a little bit much, but you know,
that was 3 years before that was your jam. 3 years before The Sopranos aired on the same channel.
Yeah,
that's weird.
They had diversity.
They sure did. That's it for our game to play. Or no, the text. Sorry. Let me now read this email.
Text.
This email's great. Looking forward to the Dig Dug episode. One of my favorites as a kid. I was wearing this t-shirt while listening to last week's episode when you announced it. And I'd like to share this with the chat. You can take a look. This is his shirt.
Oh, I love this Dig Dug. Oh my gosh.
It's in the shape of Doug.
I love all the colors.
That's Doug's shape, the overall thing.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even notice that. It's not like a square. He's like a Doug shape.
Yeah, he's Doug shaped.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
They kind of did that in the Dig Dug arrangement, too. They would spell out like the little tunnels and stuff would spell out like Dig Dug. Sometimes you wouldn't even notice. And it's like, wait a minute, it spells Dig Dug. But that shirt is amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Who sent this?
This guy didn't say his name. It was a text. I said email, but it's a text. And he didn't say his name. But he said he was wearing this when we talked about
it. We're going to call him Doug.
We'll call him Shirt.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug Shirt. We appreciate it.
Shirt Doug.
Shirt Doug. Hey, I'm Shirt Doug.
Well, what worries me, though, is he says he was wearing this, but he took this picture with him not wearing it. Was he topless when he was taking this picture?
Oh, gosh. You know, now that you say it, it's entirely possible.
We're going to call him Shirtless Doug.
Yeah. That's just the way it's going to be. All right. Now we're going to do something called the Retro Report. May as well use that music. Why not? Brian, tell me about this Roller Coaster Tycoon Open RCT2 server thing you're doing, or whatever you're doing. What are you doing with that?
If you listen, last week we did Roller Coaster Tycoon, and I got kind of addicted to what's called Open RCT2, which is gives you the ability to play Roller Coaster Tycoon in a more modern environment. And one of the big pluses is that you can play multiplayer. You can drop into other people's hosted games and build right along with them. But I've decided, instead of opening up my ports on my home server, to rent a VPS server. And I've installed Docker, which is kind of like it allows you to put things in it. And so I'm going to put in it, there's already a pre-built Docker for OpenRCT2 on Debian 12. And I'm going to finish configuring it. I've already started on it. And once I do, we'll launch that and talk about it here. And I'll probably add it to our Retro GIB website with some new instructions on how to do all that stuff, as well as our already still existing servers for Unreal Tournament 99 and 2004. So I'm very excited to see what you guys can design in Roller Coaster Tycoon. And that's the Retro Report mostly is talk about what we're doing and talk about what the community is doing. And you guys, a lot of people gave us feedback. They picked up the iPad version, the iOS version, which allows you to do the touch screen for the Roller Coaster Tycoon. Is it Deluxe? Classic. I think it's Classic.
I
think it's the Classic one that has has the ability for touchscreen. Deluxe may too, but definitely Classic does. Nice. And there was some discussion as well last week, because I said you should get Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic on Steam so that you can play OpenRCT2 if you don't already have it, because it includes Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 is what that's what you're gonna need. You're gonna need that one.
You're gonna need it. Baby.
There is one more step that I didn't mention. You do have to download a demo game of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 to put it all together. And so there's a few steps, but it's only like 3 or 4 steps, and I outlined them in our Discord channel on our Frog Pants Discord. If you're interested in knowing that, or you can just hit me up on Twitter or wherever, the Brian Dunaway. I'll point you in the right direction so that you can play this Open RCT2 with us.
Nice.
Come on in, build us something.
Come on in there, build some really cool roller coasters and show us what you got, okay? Because we want to know.
Yeah, show us how you murder your park goers.
Yeah, it's not up to you.
We know how we do it.
Yeah, we know how we kill our park goers. It's usually overfeeding. Let them puke themselves to death, really.
Yes, it's lots of sugary drinks and food, and then a lot of G-forces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all really good ideas for making your first park. So good luck, and keep us informed on how things go for you. Last week, we mentioned some brand new patrons to the show, and they were super nice people. Who did we do? Seb and Greg Beauregard. Well, guess what? This week, we're going to mention some other people. How about this name? Paul Chavit. How about D-Man? Ooh. How about Drew Burris? Maybe even I'll tell you a third one. Eller McNeil. How about that name?
Ooh, I like that name.
These are just three amazing patrons that help us support the show and make it happen every week. If you would like to be among their numbers and take advantage of no commercials or ads anytime, anywhere, get free content every week at the pre-show, then this is the place to do it. Patreon.com/playretro today. Go sign up.
Amazing pre-show.
Yeah, we had a great one.
Pre-show today, by the way.
Had a real good one.
You can catch it live. You can catch the pre-show live, but if you want to have it forever and always, you can, patron supporters get that. We talked about the Dig Dug 2-minute commercial. And, you know, we had army generals. We had the president in there. We had creepy crawlies crawling underneath the earth. We had inflatable cars for some reason on Lover's Lane. And it was an experience to be had, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was real good. So check it out. And you also get a copy of the uncut video version of the show, which includes all that pre-show, a little bit of bottom of the show, and everything in between. Even if we take a break, even if Brian has to go up and pee and we pause everything, you'll get to see all that. You get to experience that firsthand. Well, maybe not firsthand.
I enjoy using my Patreon app to listen to the podcast.
It works good. It's actually a good app. I would recommend it. Yeah. I like a lot of apps, but that one in particular. And if you use Spotify, good news, the podcast, even if you're a patron, shows up over there as well. So go use that at your leisure. That is going to do it for us. Next week, we're going to talk about Dr. Mario versus Wario's Woods. Now, you might say, wait, what? What are you doing?
Wario Wood, that's something else.
That's yeah, right, Wario's very different. Woods. These are two puzzle games that were based on, you know, mainline Mario and Wario games. And the real question is, which got you in more? Was it Dr. Mario and his messing around with pills, you know? Big Pharma Mario, basically? Or was it being in the woods that Wario hates? Which one did it better? I have my own opinion. I'll save it for next time. But we're going to talk about both these.
And these both are going to be classics. Great to play on our Delta app, which we've talked about a couple of times today. And I've already downloaded both of them for my Delta app.
Thanks for the recommendation. I will be doing that also so that I can play it before we talk next week. Because I don't get home till Thursday, which means I'll barely be here. And so it'll be nice to have some road time with these games. And that's what we'll do. And then we'll talk about them here on the show. So you just got to come back and be a part of Play Retro next week. If you want to be here live, like Brian said, come on down. We record at 1:30 Mountain Time on most Fridays, unless we tell you different. You can find the entire Frog Pants schedule at frogpants.com/schedule. That is going to do it for us. Brian, any final thoughts and words before we go?
Yeah. Shirtless Doug, put your shirt back.
Put your shirt on, dude. And we'll see you guys soon.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Consoles sold separately and hooked up by an adult.
I love that hooked up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.